Hey Blue, here we are for episode two of our 15-week limited series podcast. And it's just me, country cowgirl Dr. D, and you, Blue Waters, a Nashville recording artist whose voice will be behind each week's country song. The guides of the book chapter reading from my soon-to-be-published I'm Just a Country Song, Three Chords and Only My Truth. Last week, we wrapped up by playing a teaser of this week's episode song, Grandma's Hands. Okay, Blue, let everyone know. You know, we asked that question last week. Who originally wrote the song? Who was that?
That would be Bill Withers.
And what country artist turned the bluesy tune into a country song? He's one of our favorite Texans.
That would also be Willie Nelson.
He was accompanied by Mavis Staples as well. Did any of you guess right that it was Willie Nelson before you use that newfangled AI thing and Google? I will share this week how each podcast episode country song chose me. This week I pay respect and love to my mom's mom. Grandma. She was a petite but powerful spit of a woman whose healer's hands kept the family fed and on the right path. For me, she was my bonus mom, and I grew up on a corner of her farm in our southern Indiana holler. Hey, Blue, what did your grandma mean to you, and won't you share the guidance you received from her?
Okay. So I was very close with my grandmother on my dad's side, and we lost her several years ago to pancreatic cancer, but she left me a little keepsake with a precious note in it that I cherish, and here's the little keepsake.
Oh, pretty, pretty.
So I'll just read a little bit of from that note that she left me. This is from February 17th, which is my birthday, 2008. I was 10 years old, so... Dear sweet Catherine, on this day 10 years ago, our family received the greatest gift from God, and it came in a little pink blanket, and it was you. Every day we have you is a blessing. We both love you so much, and you have made us so proud of you. Our life has been so happy having you in it. Our deep love for you will always be forever and ever. Love, Nana and Paul. And that forever and ever line was from a book that she used to read to all of the grandkids, called I'll Love You Forever. And she really instilled in me a love for books and reading and also traveling and culture. So that's something that I still hold near and dear to my heart. I love to travel, as you know. So those are some things she taught me.
Oh, you conveyed it so well that there are those of us that were blessed to have grandma's guiding hands. And your grandma was so special, so, so very special. At its soul and simplicity, Grandma's Hands agrees with you, Blue. It's a song that reminds us of the beauty of having someone who takes care of us despite any hardships. Okay, let's park my pickup truck, Ruby, and pull out the most important lyrics of this episode song that directs my life's lessons and hopefully gives listeners and readers the same guidance. This is my favorite part, Blue. It's time for you to sing Grandma's Hands. Take it away.
Grandma's hands clapped in church on Sunday morning. Grandma's hands played the tambourine so well. Grandma's hands used to issue out a warning. She'd say, Billy, don't you run so fast. Might fall on a piece of glass. Might be snakes there in that grass. Grandma's hands. grandma's hands soothed the local unwed mother. Grandma's hands used to ache sometimes and swell. Grandma's hands used to lift her face and tell her she'd say, baby, grandma understands that you really loved that man. Put yourself in Jesus' hands, grandma's hands, grandma's hands used to hand me a piece of candy. Grandma's hands picked me up each time I fell. Grandma's hands, boy, they really came in handy. Daddy, don't you whip that boy. What you wanna spank him for? He didn't drop no apple core. But I don't have grandma anymore. If I get to heaven, I'll look for grandma's hands.
Grandma's Hands, written by Bill Withers, sung by Willie Nelson and Mavis Staples. Grandma's Hands clapped in church on Sunday morning. Grandma's Hands played a tambourine so well. Grandma's Hands used to issue out a warning. She said, Billy, don't you run so fast. Might fall on a piece of glass. Might be snakes there in that grass. Grandma's hands. Grandma was put on this earth with those special loving hands, wrinkled and gnarled over time, but with soft, worn wisdom to guide a wild, spirited child who was a spitting image of her. That idyllic life on that southern farm had a dark side of struggle, scraping by and making do, although it never showed in her eyes. She surrounded me, my brother, and two boy cousins with her loving Southern Baptist hands, helping us all to understand that no matter we had little money or possessions, we could have a grand life each day, making it what we needed it to be. Grandma and Grandpa grew up in a small town known to attract circuses and sideshows. Grandpa was the namesake of the gentleman who started the very first circus in the region. Our collective family was a blend of carnies, carnival workers, entertainers, root beer stand owners, and the like. As I look back, it was only natural that I thought the top of my swing set was a tight rope to perform my aerial stunts with great cowgirl panache. It was in my blood, after all. If you live in the South, there is a good chance you might have called your grandma Mama, Gram, or Granny. You Northerners might use Nana. Grandma was just Grandma to us and will always be. She was the mother of 10 kids and one passing early on. She was the mother of my mother, the youngest. And you can tell my mom never wanted to be apart from her mother. Grandma practically had to drag my mom down the stairs to meet my dad, who had come to ask for her hand. My parents had met each other through writing war love letters across the ocean. And when the war was done, Dad came to claim his bride. Mom didn't want to leave her mom. But Grandma shook hands and made a deal with my dad. If he married my mom, they had to live next door close by enough so the youngest could still be home. Dad kept true to his word as long as he could, and my brother and me were the lucky ones to have two moms, the one who would discipline us and the one next door who cradled us in giving Grandma's hands. When I say the word hands, I mean more than the physical sense. Grandma's hands had a touch that would send a signal of love straight to the heart. Grandma had several first-then hand rules. First, you use those hands to eat your vegetables, and then you get dessert. First, you tend to your work, and then you can rest. First, you keep your hands to yourself, then you can ask to join in. First, you check for snakes in the grass, and then you can play. How can I possibly convey all that my grandma's hands taught me? No money for fish bait? No problem at all. Just roll up that stale bread in a huge ball and cast it out on a kite string, tied to a stick with a cross twig as a bobber and one of her safety pins as a hook. Don't have resources, she would twinkle, then be resourceful. It was her healer hands that captured my attention the most. She talked of laying those hands on herbs and native ways that could heal. Only by happen chance was she given the opportunity to spend time with other medicine healer hands because of Grandpa's drinking buddy, who was of the Miami tribe. No irony in the fact that the Miami were known for their medicine healing ways, but also their medicinal bundles of magical objects and connections to call in the supernatural. I grew up with medicine bags around my neck, homemade remedy-filled poultices on my ailing body parts, and did not know there was any other type of medicine till I was in elementary school. Only then was I given white man medicine. If I was very sick, and to this day, I mix a mysterious brew of herbs and aromatherapy in my home each day and take no medicine on a regular basis. I remember Grandma's hands picking sassafras bark and wild flowers to dry on our many pasture hikes, while explaining to me that everything you need to be well is always at your fingertips. The years would pass by, and when we had to move so Dad could bring in money to support us, we never lost the connection, and our lives took on a biweekly trip to Grandma's. Dad kept his promise of keeping us close. I remember seeing her standing in the kitchen off the pump room, and her apron on, and always found somewhere between cooking and doing chores. Mom was not the same without her mom next door, and an empty ache grew and was evident. When word came that her days were numbered, we all came and stayed without questions asked. I sat quietly by her bedside, holding her hand as her breathing slowed. It was time for me to lay my hands on her as she had laid hers on mine, and only hope her healing passed through to me. Grandma, you taught me unconditional love, how material things don't define anyone, the importance of optimizing what you have, no matter how little it might be, and the gift of sharing what you do have with all those around you. Most of all, you shared your wisdom in knowing a smile and looking for the positive is far better than wallowing in the woe of things. Grandma, I would not want to be the spitting image of anyone else ever. Thanks, listeners. Thanks, Blue. Love being with you as a partner in this podcast. We appreciate you all being with us on episode 2. Driven by the song, Grandma's Hands. It's time now to think about episode 3 coming up. And Blue's going to do what Blue always does at the end of every episode. She's going to give you a little taste test, a bit of a teaser about the song you can look forward to driving our next episode 3. And the name of the song is Act Naturally. One of my favorite. Blue, take it away.
All right.
Mm-hmm. star out of me. We'll make a film about a man that's sad and lonely, and all I gotta do is act naturally.
That's it. All you gotta do is act naturally in this lifetime. Here's the two-part quiz that you can have some fun with, and we'll give you the answers at the start of the next episode, episode 3. Hope you tune in. First question, who was the writer of Act Naturally? He also was the lead singer of the Buckaroos from Bakersfield, California. Yeah, there's country singers from Bakersfield. They have a lot of twang. Part two, who was the second singer who made the hit a second time around? He was a protege of the writer of the original song. He now lives in Hollywood, and oh, Lordy, he has skin tight jeans that he wears, and he's a cutie. So who was the original singer? And then who was the singer, much younger, protege, who brought it back? Stay tuned. Tune in to episode 3. Why did I pick Act Naturally, or why did Act Naturally select me to be the third chapter in my book, in our third episode? The book, I'm Just a Country Song, Three Chords and Only My Truth. It's because the song, Act Naturally, is about being who you are, where you are, in this moment, no place else, no one else, and be proud of that. All you got to do is just act naturally. Blue, I'm getting a lot of questions about you. I want to cue in the listeners to be sure and access Blue's new song on Spotify, recorded in Nashville, Sin of the South. So Blue, how do I find your music, find you, find other services that you might provide?
Well, for my music, you can go to dot.cards/bluecrew, and that's B-L-U without an E. And for my coaching services, you can go to chooseyourblue.com, also without an E. Everything is without an E, just B-L-U.
I love how you spell your name. Of course, I call you Cat Blue, and I further complicate it. It's time now. Thank you so much for joining the two cowgirls. We call ourselves the before and after. Try to figure that one out. And we'll see you next week at episode 3. We hope you tune in. It's bye for now.